Chapter 5. Styles leaves the bedroom with Allison in tow and pads down the stairs to find Chris sitting in the living room, having a serious discussion with the Council of Elders and his two cousins about some kind of creature Styles has never heard of. Styles clears his throat and says, "I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Argent, but could I just..." Before he can finish the sentence, the back door to the house slams open and then shut, and Grabby Hands comes bursting through, out of breath and clearly more than a little terrified. Chris is on his feet, grabs him before he can run right into the sofa. "What is it? What happened?" he demands. "Alpha! In the woods! Big!" He starts flapping his hands around in an ill-advised attempt to indicate size. "Mom and I... never mind," he adds, shaking his head. "But I was in the woods, and I saw an elfal werewolf!" Chris's brow furrows, and he gives Styles a brief glance. Styles just shakes his head minutely, to indicate that he wasn't the one Grabby had seen. "Was it a wolf, or was it in human form?" Chris asks. "Human-ish. All claws and teeth and stuff. But still, you know, human-ish. Claws. Definitely claws." "Come on, let's go take a look," Chris says, and he flicks a glance at Allison and Styles. He obviously wants to tell them to stay behind, but Styles, as this territory's alpha, probably won't. And if he won't, Allison won't. But they're not suited up. Styles isn't even dressed. If other members of the hunting party go with them, he won't be able to act as the alpha. "Styles, how long will you need to get ready?"
2 minutes, Styles says.
"Then catch up with us. Allison, grab your bow. You're with me. Jake, take me to where you saw it." Grabby Hands nods, collecting himself, and jogs out the door with Chris, Allison, and the other two Argents in tow. Styles scrambles up the stairs to grab his shoes and his jacket. After a moment to consider, he decides to take the time to get his chainmail shirt on. It saved him on more than one occasion. His phone rings a bare moment after he's shrugged into it, and he sees on the caller ID that it's Chris. Frowning, he picks it up.
"I'm almost ready."
"Hey, Stalinsky, it's Chris Argent," Chris says, as if he hadn't been talking to Styles a few minutes previous. "Listen, I think I've got a rogue alpha in town." It takes Styles a minute to catch up, and then he feels unbearably slow. By the agreement that he himself had set up, Chris has to check in with him before he hunts anything down. But he can't just talk to Styles about it while the others are here.
"So I heard," he says in response, since they can't hear his end of the conversation.
Chris keeps talking, as if he knows nothing about it. "I think it probably showed up because of the conclave."
"Yeah, tell the others I said that while the conclave is going on, you guys can do whatever to the party crashers," Styles says. "You know, that doesn't involve the Bobbsey twins opening fire in your backyard."
Chris makes a disgusted little noise, then says, "Okay, I'll keep you posted." Styles tucks his phone away just as there's a quick knock on the door, before Beefcake leans in, drawn by the noise.
"What's up?"
"Grabby Hands, sorry, Jake, saw something in the woods, and the others are going to check it out."
Styles plunks down on the bed and starts tying his sneakers.
"Hang on half a sec and you can come with me."
"Let me load my 45,
Beefcake says, trotting back to his room. He's ready a minute later, and the two of them set off through the woods to find the others. Styles fills him in on the way there. He knows approximately which way they went, and he can rely on his pack bond with Allison for more specifics. They've fanned out when he gets there, splitting into pairs. He and Hunky beat some bushes, but after about a 20-minute search, everyone agrees that there's no alpha to be found.
"I know what I saw!"
Grabby Hands protests as the group trudges back to the house.
"Honestly, Jake," his father snaps, "are you even wearing your contacts?"
Grabby turns pink in the pale light of the moon.
"Well, no, but I..."
"So, to get attention after losing the tournament, you're going to make up some wild story about an alpha in the woods?" his father scoffs. Allison's jaw clenches.
She knows that Grabby Hands isn't making this up, contact lenses or not, but she swallows down her temper and tries to remember the important part of her father's lecture earlier. She isn't going to win by butting heads with people all the time. She certainly can't say she's sure Grabby is right because Stiles felt the other alpha, but only for a moment, and she's not sure what that means. Did Stilinski say anything about another alpha on the territory? Chris gives her a look and a frown, then shakes his head. While the others aren't really paying attention, he shoots a quick glance at Stiles as if to say, "Is there anything I should know?" Stiles pretends he doesn't see it, but says, "It's hard to mistake two red glowing eyes for something else, whether your vision is 20/20 or 20/200. "And there were those betas earlier," Allison points out. "I mean, I'll admit we didn't find Jack, but that doesn't mean he or she wasn't here scoping things out." "Either way, we'll double the watch tonight," Chris says brusquely. Grabby's father gives a snort. "Come on, Chris. That isn't necessary. He's just a little boy who is literally crying wolf." Chris gives the man a sharp look. "Does he have a history of lying?" he asks, obviously banking on Allison's faith that the boy is telling the truth. "He has a history of attention-seeking behavior," the man replies. "He's a child. That's his job. As long as that behavior doesn't include opening fire in my backyard, he's still doing pretty well compared to some others." He raises his voice. "Let's get back to the house. We'll double the guard tonight." At this, Grabby's father shuts up. Stiles looks at Allison and mouths, "Mad respect." She wrinkles her nose at him. Chris pulls him aside as they reach the house, saying, "Stiles, help me get these things put away," loud enough for everyone to hear. They wait until everyone else has gone inside. "So, what aren't you telling me?" "I actually planned to tell you," Stiles says. "I mean, earlier, I came downstairs to tell you. For a minute, it did feel like there was an alpha on the territory. It would have corresponded with about the time Jake saw it. But then the feeling went away. It couldn't have lasted longer than 10 seconds. I'm not sure what that means." Chris's jaw sets. "Probably that the pack has a witch or a warlock in it, who's somehow masking their presence. And Jake seeing them fouled it up somehow." He gives a brisk nod. "Well, we'll be on the lookout. Anyone who shows up tonight will have an unpleasant surprise." Stiles nods and helps him get the weapons put away without further commentary. When he goes inside, the adults are in the kitchen, making drinks. He prowls around the house a little. The basement is locked, as always, and the upstairs seems pretty empty. The bathroom door is closed and locked. He taps on it. "Jake, are you there?" "No," came the somewhat sullen answer. "Yeah, I wouldn't be either if I were you," Stiles says. He sits down in the hallway, leaning his back against the door. There's a long silence. Then, "Why are you still here? I can see your butt blocking the light from the hall." "Look, I believe you, okay? And not just he saw something that must have spooked him, like half the others do. I believe you saw an alpha, because I've seen one. Really, really hard to mistake that for something else." "My dad's seen them before, too." There's a thump by the door, like now he's leaning on it. "Didn't stop him from calling me a liar in front of everyone." Stiles lets out a sigh. Since his immediate reaction of, "Hey, have you ever thought about joining a werewolf pack? We don't mind if you want to stay human," is obviously right out, he searches for something else comforting to say. He tries to imagine what his father would say to another kid in this situation. What comes out is, "Your dad is a dick and your mom is a harpy. You, somehow, bucked the nature and nurture odds and came out kind of awesome. So why don't you try this neat solution? Don't give a fuck about what your parents think, because they suck." There's a laugh that sounds a little unhealthy, but is still a laugh. "Are you deficient?" "Apparently," Stiles says, laughing with him. Come on, quit moping in there. We'll find that alpha, and then you'll get the grand joy of saying, told you so. And until then, you should come out of the bathroom and come play Call of Duty or something with me. I have to put my contacts in for that. There's some shuffling and thumping, and then the door opens. Well, we can play something else if you want. You know, pin the tail on the donkey, maybe, Styles says with a definite smirk. You're a jerk, too, Jake says, but his sullen face cracks into a smile. The next day starts off like it's just going to be another boring day at the hotel, but after several long seminars that nearly put Styles to sleep, and a quick dinner of pre-made sandwiches eaten while the adults are gathered to talk about weapons acquisition, Jake's father gathers up all the kids and tells them that he's arranged for an activity for them. Styles is surprised, since he thought that Chris was in charge of doing all this kind of thing, and he hadn't mentioned it. But his job isn't to question, so he does his best to look excited about it. It's a scavenger hunt, the man says. Some of my friends here have helped me set it up. We've hidden things in the forest. Things you might need to use or find while hunting. He hands each of them a typewritten list. You can split up into pairs to look for them. It'll be a way to practice your tracking and observation skills. Styles clears his throat. This is the same forest in which we've seen werewolves, right? The man scoffs. There was no alpha in that forest last night. Putting that aside, Styles says evenly, there were still two betas a couple days ago, and that's not to mention that a local pack, you know, lives in this city, and the preserve is their territory. Freddy laughs. You scared? Of your cutting wit? Styles asks, arching his eyebrows at the twins. Yes, it's terrifying. When Freddy just scowls at him, Styles turns back to the man who's ostensibly in charge. Have you cleared this with Chris? Oh, he's got a million things to do right now, the man says, too casually. I thought this would be a nice opportunity for you kids. And there's a time limit. Sunset's in an hour, don't forget, and it'll get a lot harder after dark. At this, Styles decides to let it go, mostly because it is a nice opportunity, although not the way the man intends it. He wants to go look for that alpha, and this is a good time to do it. He's not thrilled with the idea of potential victims or hostages wandering around the woods, but he'll have to trust that the others can take care of themselves. They're allowed to choose their own partners, so Styles is, of course, with Allison, and the twins are together. Jake's father volunteers Beefcake to be his son's partner, obviously thinking that they'll win and he can regain some dignity after the tournament. Beefcake is much too nice a guy to protest, and gives Jake a manly shoulder squeeze that makes the younger teenager wince. This leaves Wednesday with Veruca's salt, and she's obviously already thinking about how quickly she'll be able to ditch her in the forest. As soon as they've been dropped off with their lists, Flossie turns to Jake and says, "Did you really see an alpha last night?" Her tone indicates that she really wants there to have been an alpha so she can go hunt it down, but she doesn't actually believe Jake for a second. "Yes," the boy says, apparently having regained some confidence after spending some time with Styles and Allison. "I don't care if Dad doesn't believe me. I saw what I saw." The twins grin at each other. "You jerk-offs can do some baby scavenger hunt then," Freddy says. "We're going on a real hunt," Flossie says, and the two of them jog into the forest without another word. Styles just lets out a little sigh. If either of them actually find the alpha, they're going to piss their pants and we're going to have to go save them, he mutters. And Allison giggles. "Okay, well, we'll see you guys later," he says, and heads in the opposite direction. Once he's gotten far enough away from the others, he pulls out his phone. "Whatcha up to?" Allison asks. "I'm calling Derek," Styles says. "If there's actually an alpha around here, we'll need his nose to help us find it. I mean, maybe they're masking their scent as well, but they came to fuck with hunters, not with another pack, so maybe not.
Allison frowns a little.
You sure you want Derek out here while the Wonder Twins are on the hunt?
No, I really don't, Styles says, but I want to see this alpha taken care of sooner rather than later. If we don't find anything within an hour or so, I'll send him back home. But I'd like to at least check out the area where we were last night with him.
You just want to see Derek, Allison says, grinning at him.
Styles laughs.
I won't lie and say that's not a perk. But really, I believe Jake, and something weird is going on. And to a certain extent, despite the conclave, this is my turf. I have to at least check it out.
She nods, and the two of them start heading back towards the Argent House. Derek comes through the preserve and meets up with them about 10 minutes later. He's in his human form, presumably so none of the other teenagers will recognize him as a werewolf from afar, but wearing a backpack that he can put his clothes in if he decides to shift. He greets Styles and Allison, but really only briefly. There's work to be done. Styles explains the situation and leads them back to the general area where Jack had seen the Alpha. They've all had some basics in tracking, but they don't see any footprints or anything else that might indicate where the Alpha came from or where it went afterwards. Derek stops at one particular spot and sniffs around for a long minute. Then he says, "I smell a wolf here, right here." He starts pointing at various places and saying, "Not over there or over there. Only in this one spot."
"So it teleported in and out?" Styles says.
"Sure."
"Is it an alpha?"
"Not a very strong one," Derek says. "But yeah." Styles chews on his lower lip while he thinks all of this over. He considers calling Deaton to see if the man detected any mojo going around lately, but decides against it.
"This isn't right," he says. "A pack with a weak alpha and two betas that any of you guys could have bested in your sleep wouldn't have a witch or warlock good enough to pull off a spell that masked their presence this entirely. And if they had really showed up to pick off hunters at the conclave, why didn't it go after Grabby Hands last night? I like the kid, but he's an easy target."
Derek rubs a hand over the back of his head. "That whole thing about party crashers doesn't make any sense to me anyway. Most supernatural creatures avoid hunters like the plague. Why would they think 100 of them gathered in one place would be a good target?"
"You know," Styles says, "I was kind of thinking the same thing, because it reminded me of Sebastian Stone, who was like, 'Hey, that kid sounds like a real badass, so I'd better go challenge him.' What the fuck, right? Stone was psycho, so who knows how his mind works. But I can't think of a single werewolf I've met who would think attacking this gig is a good plan. Hell, even Callie might have thought twice."
"It does seem weird," Allison admits. "But Dad says it happens. In fact, he says at the conclave that he attended when he was 16, some kind of minotaur thing showed up and attacked the house at night. And he got a lot of attention when he managed to kill it, even though he was so young. So it's not like it doesn't happen."
"Yeah," Styles says. He huffs out a sigh. "We don't have time right now to ponder it. I want to do a quick run of the forest. We're going to split up. Stay within shouting distance, but look for anything out of the ordinary. Try to steer clear of the other kids. We'll rendezvous back here in half an hour. I want to be out of here before full dark."
Derek and Allison aren't thrilled with the idea, but there really doesn't seem to be anyone or anything dangerous in the forest, so they agree. Each of them picks a direction and jogs away. Styles keeps his eyes peeled for anything that might indicate what the hell is going on, but the forest looks like it always does. He trots down the little animal path for about 5 minutes, before stopping for a quick break. He's in a little clearing, next to a stream that's narrow but looks deep. He stands there with his back against a tree, just listening for a long minute. He hears rustling in the undergrowth a few seconds later,
coming from his left, where the trees are more dense. He can see a figure approaching. It's not in focus yet. It's shadowy somehow, almost hazy. But he knows who it is, somehow, because it can't be anyone else. It's Peter Hale. The last time he had seen Peter, it had been a hallucination in his kitchen. And that had been dead Peter, his skin burnt and veins laced with wolfsbane. This is Peter as he was in life, dressed in the same leather jacket and with the same faint smirk he had always worn. Stiles is aware that his heart is thudding away rapidly in his chest, but he feels strangely calm, almost distant. He hasn't slept for days, and he's having a hallucination, a flashback. What had Quinn told him to do when he has flashbacks? "Hello, Stiles," Peter says. "Have you missed me?" Stiles swallows, but manages a response. He's just chatting with a figment of his imagination. What's the problem? "Not so much, really. And you really need to get some new material. I'm pretty sure you asked that the last time I hallucinated about you."
"Clearly the question is weighing on your mind,"
Peter says, stepping closer.
"I see you've been adding to my pack for me.
That was very thoughtful of you." That breaks Stiles out of his stupor, and he grabs Peter's wrist as the man reaches for him. "This is my pack," he snaps, "not yours. I took it from you fair and square, and you can't have it back, now or ever."
"Poisoning me while I was wrapped in silver chains is your idea of fair play?"
Peter makes a tisk-tisk noise. And it's insane because it's Peter. It's not some figment of Stiles' imagination. It's Peter exactly as he was, and Stiles can hardly breathe. Because it doesn't make sense. It's not possible, and none of it makes sense. The last time this had happened, he had frozen up and just let Peter do whatever he wanted. He's not about to let that happen again. He reaches for his .38. Peter's other hand snakes out too quickly to even really see, and his claws sink into Stiles' forearm. Stiles lets out a hiss of pain and tries to pull free, the claws raking over his skin and leaving shallow wounds. They struggle like that for a minute, and then Peter laughs and says,
"Whenever I see you, I'm reminded of why I liked you so much, and how I was going to keep you."
The reference to the trunk, no matter how oblique, makes Stiles shudder. Thrown off balance, all he wants to do now is get away. He snatches his arm back from Peter, leaving another nasty gash, and Peter lets him take it.
"Run," he says, showing teeth. "Let me chase you, Stiles."
Stiles takes another few stumbling steps backwards and trips over an exposed root, landing on his rear end. He thinks, well, this is a dumb way to die. But that sort of figures, given that this is his life. And then he hears Derek shouting his name. His Lupa charges up behind him, already partially shifted. The last time he had been hallucinating, Derek had run in and asked, "What the hell?" So Stiles is expecting something similar this time. But it doesn't happen. Derek stops dead just in front of Stiles, shielding him from Peter, and lets out an unhappy wheeze of disbelief, like he was just kicked in the stomach. Stiles can't see Peter's face because Derek is right in front of him. But then, suddenly, and almost randomly, there's a crackle and a whoosh, and there's fire. Fire everywhere, in front of them and in back and to every side. Stiles yelps as a wall of flame washes over the trees next to him. Derek shifts abruptly, going to his full wolf form without even bothering to shed his clothes. He's almost cowering, trying to crawl underneath Stiles while the flames crackle around them. The air is already so hot it hurts to breathe, and Stiles chokes and coughs when he gets a lung full of smoke. He doesn't see Peter anymore, doesn't see anyone or anything through this fire and smoke. "Derek, we gotta," he says, tugging on the wolf. He manages to haul him to his feet, but he's all tangled in his clothes. "Derek, damn it, get up!" Normally, a direct order from the Alpha would have any of the wolves springing to attention. But Derek just whimpers and cowers lower. Stiles realizes that he's only making things worse. He drops Derek and lets him sink back to the ground. Then he kneels beside him and runs his hands over the wolf's fur where he can reach it. "Okay, Derek, okay," he says, in what he hopes is a soothing tone of voice. He chokes back another cough. "You're okay. It's just a little fire. We're gonna get you out of here, but I need you to work with me, okay? You just stick with me and you'll be okay." "Stiles?" Allison shouts from somewhere beyond the flames. "Stiles, where are you?" "We're in here," he calls back. "We're coming out, so stay where you are." "I can't." "Can't see you." Stiles hears Derek give a whimper that's almost a scream and looks down to see the wolf's shirt is smoldering. "Fuck, fuck," he says, taking off his jacket and trying to smother the flames out. Derek just gives another wolf whine. "Derek, goddammit, I can't lift you. You're too heavy." And he can't drag him either because the motherfucking ground is on fire. And oh look, now his jacket is on fire. That's just peachy. And every breath is getting shorter and sharper, and he's starting to get this terrible pain in his temples every time his heart beats. Then there are arms around his waist, hauling him off the ground. He thinks it's Allison at first, but the hands are too big, and the smell, such as it is through the smoke, is wrong. He reaches for Derek, then sees another figure in the smoke scooping him up. Everything goes cold and dark for a moment, and he sputters, flailing, before realizing he's been tossed into the stream. He surfaces, shaking himself, and looks around for Derek. He's clawing his way up the bank. His clothes are long gone. Stiles fumbles, trying to remember how to swim, but even in the small stream, his clothes weigh him down. The same hands drag him to shore and up onto the embankment, where Allison is doubled over coughing. Stiles manages to twist around to see who saved him. He stops and blinks in shock. "Scott?" He looks over to see Erica leaning over Derek. She's clearly the one who dragged him out of the fire. "What are you two doing here?"
We were worried about you," Scott says.
"Apparently with good reason," Erica adds, as Derek crawls out of her grip and over to Stiles. He crawls into the teenager's lap, hiding his face in Stiles' shirt so he doesn't have to see the fire or smoke. The stream is keeping it from reaching them for the moment, and the wind is in their favor. But California in June is a bad time and place for fires to be starting in the forest. Stiles tries to pull himself together as Allison starts coughing again, and Scott wraps an arm around her waist to steady her. But then he starts coughing too, and it gets bad enough that he starts fumbling for his inhaler.
"It's just the two of us, though. The others are still in Los Angeles," Erica continues.
Stiles nods at her, but then hears something. He's not sure what. And he looks up, across the riverbank. Peter Hale is standing there by the fire. He smiles at Stiles, and then lifts his hand in a little wave before turning and disappearing into the smoke. Stiles tries to take in a breath and starts coughing again. Then he hears footsteps, quick ones, and someone is running towards them. Derek is still in his lap, his face mashed into Stiles' stomach. There's simply no time for him to be anywhere or anyone else. That's to say nothing of Erica and Scott, both of whom are still partially shifted. He doesn't even try to get to his feet as the other hunter kids rush over from all directions.
"Holy shit," Wednesday blurts out, showing real shock for the first time since he's known her, when she catches sight of the werewolves.
She reaches as if to go for her knives, but in that split second sees the way Scott is supporting Allison, the way Erica is hovering over Stiles, and changes her mind. Jake and Hunky are behind her, although Veruca is nowhere to be seen. Beefcake likewise notices the body language and makes the appropriate assumptions.
"Are you guys?" he begins. But before he can finish, the twins jog up with their guns already drawn.
"Son of a bitch, that thing is huge," Freddy says, and he's already got his finger on the trigger.
Styles can hear the excitement in his voice, and he knows that Freddy isn't saying that because he's intimidated by Derek's size. He's thinking of the size of the head he will be able to mount on his wall. Styles is on his feet and in Freddy's face before he can think about it, eyes blazing crimson and voice taut with rage. "If you lay one finger on any of the wolves in my pack, I will remove your entire hand at the wrist. I am done with your trigger-happy bullshit. Do you fucking hear me?" Everyone is just staring at him in shock. Styles realizes, a little too late, that perhaps he should not have said that out loud. But in for a penny. "I have tried to play nice with you bloodthirsty motherfuckers out of respect for Chris Argent, but I am done benching myself while you maniacs wander around thinking you can do whatever the hell you want. This may be the Conclave, but you are on my territory, and if you don't play by my rules, I will bury you. Is that absolutely fucking clear?" Hunky swallows and nods. He isn't sure if the threats are directed at him and Wednesday, or just at the twins, but he's very sure that he does not want to push Styles with his alpha red eyes now. "We are clear," Wednesday states, as Erica comes up to stand at Styles' shoulder, just staring at the twins, waiting for them to make the wrong move. Derek, meanwhile, has pressed himself to Styles' legs and is nearly belly to the forest floor, making low, distressed noises and flinching every time an ember strays in their direction. He's clearly close to outright panic. Styles immediately drops to his knees, wrapping his arms around Derek and hugging him close. "Shh. It's okay," he murmurs, low enough that the humans won't hear. Then, in a normal tone, he says, "Allison, call the fire department. Scott, Erica, check the Bobbsey twins over there for weapons. Do it thoroughly. They'll have some hidden. If they give you any trouble, drop them. But no permanent damage." He looks at Jake and the other kids. "You guys okay?" he asks, more to reassure them that he's not trying to threaten them than because he thinks they might not be. Derek presses his face to Styles' belly, trying to block out everything except Styles' scent and heartbeat. Allison already has her phone out. "You want me to call Papa Stalinsky, too?" she asks, and Styles gives her a nod. Scott and Erica both shift into their fully human form and start stripping them of their weapons. "Jeez, anyone have a bag we can dump this stuff into?" Scott asks, as things start to get a little ridiculous. He gives the girl a hard look when she protests Erica groping her breasts. The look only gets harder when Erica comes up with a small knife. They had learned that trick from Allison. Styles takes off his backpack and tosses it over to them. Jake, for his part, moves a little closer to Hunky and nods. "I'm okay," he says, and Hunky and Wednesday both offer up affirmatives as well. Then Beefcake seems to shake off some of his shock. "What the hell is going on?" "Not sure," Styles says. "I think this is some kind of monster that can take the form of whatever it is you fear. Jake saw a generic alpha, I saw a specific one, and Derek, well, apparently it came with fire, whatever it was." He knows damn well who Derek saw, but he isn't about to go into that in front of everyone else. "We need to get out of here before the fire department shows up and thinks we set this." He glances around, placing them in the preserve. "The den isn't far. We'll head there." He makes an inclusive gesture at the teenaged hunters and adds, "You guys can come too if you want." "Den?" Jake nearly squeaks. He sounds somewhere between terrified and excited. He clearly knows that they're about to break some big-time rules, and he's pretty sure it's going to be awesome. Then he remembers the monster aspect of this. "It's gone, right?" "Oh, yeah," Styles says, thinking of Peter giving him that little wave as he walked into the smoke. "It's gone. For now."